What is it actually that empowers us? Remember that Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, I will rush this and I pray that you catch it. If you don't catch it, go back and listen to it because of time. From verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, listen to the way Apostle Paul put it.
But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly.
Yes.
That now at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity.
They were sending offerings to him. They have been wanting to do it, but they did not have opportunity. Now they got opportunity for somebody they can send to send their offerings to Apostle Paul. That is what he's commenting on.
Not that I speak in respect of wants.
Not that he is in need of anything. No.
For I have learned.
He has learned by experience.
In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
And he said in verse 13,
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Who is it that strengtheneth him?
Christ.
He can do all things. He can go hungry if there is no food. He knows how to humble himself. And he knows how to eat and belego food if he has that. But if he doesn't have it, it doesn't bother him. Christ has strengthened him through every situation. That's why he said, I can do all things. I can fast. When there is no food, I will turn it to fasting. And when there is money to eat, I will go for buffet. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we are talking about empowerment here is the strength that cometh from the Lord. Why did he say so? Psalm 68, verse 35.
Oh God.
The psalmist said this in verse 35.
Thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people.
Again.
The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people.
He is the one. Is the God of Israel not our God? He is the one that giveth strength. Strength. This year, he is the one that will give us strength. And not only this year, forever till he comes. We depend on his strength. These are people who are revelated, people who have relationship with God. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they make these inspirational statements. Even at the last stanza of our hymn 68, he said, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's the one that gives strength for today and hope for tomorrow. That is who our God is. Why will he be the strength giver? Because things will happen when we go weak. And that is why in Romans chapter 9, chapter 8, verse 26, where he says the Spirit itself.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
Yes.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Even when we are weak in prayers, he will help us to know how to pray.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
He helps us because there will be problems and frustrations. He is our comforter. Because sicknesses will come, he is our healer. He is our restorer. Hallelujah. He's our restorer. He's our deliverer. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the righteous from all his troubles.
The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations.
Out of temptations.
And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be
punished.
That
is who he is. Hallelujah. You have a debt you cannot pay. Satan kept us. It's not only spiritual debt for our redemption, even physical debt. Even physical debt. Amen. He knows how to do it. Years back, a young man, I gave that testimony. I don't know. He just came for counseling. He's not even a member of this church. I can't even recognize him if I see him now. But he came because he owed a microfinance bank 40,000 naira. That's more than 10, 15 years ago. He said, they were disturbing him, oh, the debt collectors. So he had to run away from his house. 2 weeks he has not near his house, running away from them. He only came for prayers. He came for prayers. I said, so if you have 40,000 naira now, you will go back home? He said, yeah, but where will he get that now? He just make I pray. May they just leave him. He's not seeing family now for so. He didn't expect what he came. I brought out my checkbook and I wrote a check of 40,000. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. See, had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's why Psalm 121 from verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills.
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?
Which hill is Calvary's hill? Oh, glory be to God. Which hill is Calvary's hill? On the hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Dear, a precious fountain. When you drink from it, life will come back. He is our strength giver. Hallelujah. And Psalm 56. I love Psalm 56. I love Psalm 56 from verse 1.
Be merciful unto me, O God.
Uh-huh.
For man will swallow me up.
Uh-huh.
He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies will daily swallow me up.
Uh-huh.
For there be many that fight against me, O thou most high.
Hey.
What time I am afraid.
That is the testimony of somebody reading it now.
What time I am afraid?
When I am scared and I'm afraid, what will happen?
I will trust in thee.
Go ahead.
In God I will praise his word.
Uh-huh.
In God I have put my trust.
Oh, yes.
I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
Amen.
Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil.
Uh-huh.
They gather themselves together. They hide themselves.
You know, that verse 5 again.
Every day they rest my words.
Uh-huh.
All their thoughts are against me for evil.
During our empowerment hour yesterday, I reminded you about a sister. I said, saw her eyes swollen up because she cried. She said some sisters who were around her also joined her to cry. A young girl who was a member of their group stopped coming for meeting. And she called, and other people called. When she called, she was very harsh. What do you concern you? Now you are the worship. She was wondering, what happened? And stopped coming for over 2 years. And somehow during the week, the girl now came, I think on Thursday or so. The sister even stopped coming to the church. Now came with a gift, bought some things, and I brought this to you, my sister. And this sister now said, wait, carry your thing first. I won't collect it until you tell me why you have stopped coming to church and even coming to the group. And she said that she was engaged to a young man to marry, and that this particular sister went to tell that man not to marry her. And she said, did I know whether you were engaged? Do I know anybody you were engaged to? Do I know what it concerned me for me to go and tell a man not to marry you? What do I know about you? Other than seeing you in the church, do I know anything else about you? And she broke down. She was crying. She said, what did I do these people? Why wouldn't they let me rest in this ministry? And she broke down. She was crying. And the girl said, later on, my eyes were open. Then I knew that it was a setup. It was somebody in the church that went to tell that girl. Another one said, this same girl, another person told a sister. All of a sudden, that sister stopped talking to this sister again. You go greet her, Pastor, in the same church. Oh, and she was wondering what is happening. One day, the other sister came to her senses and told her, this is the problem I have had with you. A sister told me that you are the one that tied my marriage so that I will not marry. But now, maybe God spoke to her to go and make it right, I don't know. So when she remembered this one, that's when she started crying. What is that verse saying?
Every day they rest my words.
Every day.
All their thoughts are against me for evil.
All their thoughts are against me for evil. And let me use this opportunity like I spoke yesterday. I think it's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Let me say this to the brother of Christ worldwide. Listen very well.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
Again.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
Don't conclude because you hear something from one person, no matter how highly placed, how anointed, how gifted. If it is against a brother, a sister, confirm it. Go to that person. Sister Oluchuku said, and then bring the matter. We are a family. And settle it. If all of us confirm before we make a conclusion, we will have less problem of fellowship with each other. And those spirits will be very, very uncomfortable among us. They can't prosper. They will sit down and write a script. And they said, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. Based on whatever permutations and predictions. And before you know it, certain things are looking as if what they say is true. Then problem starts. It's part of the things the devil uses to weaken the fellowship of the church. Please. No matter how highly placed. There was somebody that was complaining all manner of things concerning Pastor Oluchuku. Olumide Ochuku. And everybody that had him believed it. And it took time before that information got to me. And this same brother, Oluchuku, Olumide, has gone to him 3 times. Please, guide me. If I have offended anyone, let me know. No. There's no problem, no problem. As he turned him back, he's finishing him again. That is not Christianity. It's the highest display of immaturity. You don't do that. Actions can be misinterpreted. You may be presuming. But when you ask, why do you do this? Somebody may be doing something that is offending you. He may not know it. Approach the person and tell the person, why are you doing this? You are hurting me. If the person continues, then you know the battle line is drawn. Cain and Abel. do that, it weakens even you that have that. You can't be healthy spiritually. You can't face demons, problem with strength, because it weakens you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For this reason, and you are taking communion, hug your brother, you will hug somebody you hate. And that problem wouldn't have been there if you had taken time to talk things over to your brother. And those that he was recruiting you to believe what he is saying against this poor innocent boy, you also have problem. If you know two people have problem, it's your responsibility to reconcile them. Not to sit down and be using foul languages. What is that small boy saying? What is that boy saying? He's preaching here. What is that boy saying? You have been recruited. Are you a witch? Now, witches, they recruit themselves against somebody that offend their member. It's wrong. It shows you are immature. That is not Christianity at all. I don't know where we import that from. Let's learn something. I beg, let's read that scripture. Let's continue. It just came to my spirit now. I should address these things. I had to call a group of ministers to reformat them. I took a lot of time because, amen, it was a virus that was going to cause problem if we did not do immunization. Love must flow among us. In this church, whoever you are, you have me to contend with. I say, affliction shall not arise a second time. I'm still looking for that person that made that statement to say, that sister is the one that destroyed. I will look for you. And if you have left this church, we will meet in a police station. That nonsense must stop. And if you don't want, then come and confess. Come and confess, then there will be no trouble. We'll do deliverance on you. You go. It's wrong, brethren, it's wrong. This is not Christianity at all. Why do you like running people down behind them? That is a spirit of cowardice. You're a coward. When you have something against somebody and you cannot confront that person, you're a coward. And the spirit of Christ, the spirit of boldness, it's evidence you don't have the Holy Ghost. I say it again. In this ministry, I know what that spirit did. In this church, the damage it did when we were not watchful. Now, I am watchful. We are all watchful. Thank God for our ministers now. We won't tolerate it. Praise the Lord. I had to make that comment before we continue. Go ahead.
Verse 6. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves.
Yes.
They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put down my tears into
the... We are reading Psalm 56. What verse are you reading now?
Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put down my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
God is for me. Somebody shout, God is for me.
God is for me.
Read on.
In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If God be for me, who will be against me? You remember the story of Balaam? In Numbers chapter 23. The king king of Moab sat on the mountain and saw Israel relaxed in their tents, he got scared. He got afraid and go waka to a medium called Balaam. Anybody that will waka to go and throw a curse upon you, what happened to Balaam will happen to them. This is what happened to Balaam. We know the story that he went and contracted Moab. We know how eventually Moab took his horse and was going. Hallelujah. He was going to curse Israel. Verse 7. Chapter 23, verse 7.
And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, had brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?
Again.
How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?
Again. I don't know why they are not excited. Go ahead.
How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see
Israel. I see Israel.
And from the hills I behold you.
I behold Israel.
Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like
his. He saw the end of the type of blessing that Israel has. He said he want to die like the children of God will die. That's the death of the righteous.
And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies. And behold, thou hast blessed them all together. And he answered and said, must I not take you to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see
them. He took him again. Oh yeah, maybe that place we did. That's why the curse didn't happen. Let's change direction. He went to another place.
Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar.
Build 100 altars.
And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said,
it is the same God again that was talking. Go ahead.
Go again unto Balak.
Somebody will open mouth to curse you, he will find himself blessing you. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That is the empowerment we are working on now. Finish reading.
Go again unto Balak and say thus, and when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took
in front of Balak's shrine, what was he saying?
And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man.
He is not a man.
That he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Behold, I have received commandment to bless. And he hath blessed. And I cannot reverse it.
Hallelujah.
He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel.
He said, God has not seen. You are calling me all manner of names. It's not how you look at me that matters. It is how my God looks at me that matters. Hallelujah. You are seeing me and saying all manner of things. God is looking at me through the blood of Jesus. God is looking at me through the mercy that he provided for me on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, the accuser of the brethren is overcome by what? By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, glory be to God. Read on.
He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath as it were the strength of a unicorn.
Okay, now.
Surely there is no enchantment against
Jacob.
There
is no enchantment against Moses Alu. What about you? There is no enchantment against
neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what are God wrought?
Listen, you see what God is speaking concerning Israel under a covenant he had with Abraham and sealed it with circumcision. And he still holds on to that. No matter what anybody says, is the will of the enemy shall not come to pass. That is the reason why throughout this period, we are having our empowerment and closing it with the communion, because that is where the covenant is. It still was not enough in chapter 24, verse 1.
And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel,
yes,
he went not as at other times to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said.
Listen, the Spirit of God came upon him, not that he received Holy Ghost. So the hand of God came upon him to use him, like he used his ass to give prophecy to him. There's a difference between the anointing of the Holy Ghost and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead.
And the man whose eyes are open had said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the visions of the Almighty, falling into a trance.
He entered a trance and God showed him something with his eyes open, but not trance.
How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel.
Can you see the Spirit of God speaking? Prophecy, go ahead.
As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of lime aloes which the Lord had planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his sea shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt.
See the history?
He has, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows.
And so they don't know that this prophecy is hanging over Israel. They are disturbing themselves about Israel. This prophecy is still hanging over Israel. Go ahead.
He couched. He lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall steer him up? Blessed is he that blessed thee. And cursed is he that cursed thee.
What did he say again? Blessed is he that blessed thee. And cursed is he that cursed thee. You know, many people don't understand that when you trouble a child of God, you are receiving a curse from God. And when you bless a child of God, you are positioning yourself for God to bless you. People come to church. Instead of them to focus on the reason they come to church, they will come here. Instead of receiving deliverance, they will receive more curses upon their lives. They jump from redeem where they were receiving curses. They went to mountain of fire, they received more curses. Then they moved to choosing more curses. They came there because children of God are in these places. You have, it is not changing church, it's changing your character. Change your character, even though your situation will never change. And before you know what, God will bless you with the type of husband or wife that you deserve. The next thing after salvation to anybody is a good husband and a good wife. On this earth, if you have a good wife, you will know how to abound and how to abase. Amen. Not the one that when you don't have, he will use mouth on you. No. And the worst thing, after hellfire, it's a bad marriage. Bad marriage. That is, before you reach hellfire, you experience the hell here. A brother used to be a minister here, was even a prophet. Had a problem with his wife. I remember my wife and I went to that house. We spent almost the whole night, from morning till late night, trying to settle them. Lie, they didn't work. Elders in the church, lie, they didn't work. He knows that as long as he's here, he will not be able to divorce the woman. I told the woman, I said, don't let your husband leave this church. Well, if this your husband leave this church, your marriage will be a problem. Sometimes the man leave the church. He came very calmly. That is, the Lord is moving me. I should go and start my ministry. I prayed for him. He went. Some other time, the woman ran to me. He brought letter for divorce. I said, what did I tell you? Okay. But what I remember the story is, I sent for him. He came to me in my house. He said, Daddy, I knew you would send for me. I will rather break this marriage with this woman and go to hell than to remain with her here as a wife. He said, let God judge between me and her. Daddy, I don't marry her. Oh, now he know what he ain't getting now. Because she don't carry knife one time to cut off his teeth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Carry his car, sell. He didn't know. Okay. Hey, the single brothers are shaking. Single sisters are shaking. Don't worry, your case is different. I say your case is different. Single brothers and sisters. Amen. Before they come, God will reveal it to you. That is why I have been hammering on the gift of the word of wisdom, knowledge. Word of knowledge. In the dream, you will see. If the man is wicked, but you will see him. That is why we believe in courtship. If you don't see him for dream, you go share with your eye, koro koro, so that you will run. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he went on. Have we finished that? There is one statement there that he made.
Verse 10. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse my enemies. And behold, thou hast blessed them these 3 times. Therefore now flee to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying,
what were you saying?
If Balak will give me his ass full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will
that
I speak.
That is the reason why every service opportunity I have, I say every creature of God will refuse any evil assignment against you. It's a prophecy. Some of you answer amen without hearing what I am saying. Some of you, they will carry your matter to a shrine, the shrine will reject it. You don't believe it? They will go to a hired assassin, the hired assassin will turn against them. So why are you telling them to go and kill an innocent person? With our work, we'll be sure, say the person, they're guilty before we walk. Therefore, you won't put us for trouble, the juju we have, it's not like that, then they turn their guns on you. It happens. Finish reading, please.
And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what these people shall do to thy people in the latter days.
Hey, he says, see what Israel will do to you people, Moabites, in the latter days.
And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, and the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now.
Hey, who is that him? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
I shall behold, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob.
Who is that star?
The Lord Jesus.
Oh, glory be to God.
And a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
Who is that scepter?
Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus.
And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly.
And you can read on, and you can read on what will come to pass. Is a prophecy for Israel, and Jesus will fulfill that prophecy. Praise the Lord. The confidence we have, Psalm 27, verse 1, 2, 3. He said, the Lord is, who is he to you?
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
This year, anybody that will come against us shall stumble and fall. I said they shall stumble and fall. Verse 3.
Though an host should encamp against me,
anywhere which is wherever they gather against me,
my heart shall not fear.
Uh-huh.
Though war rise against me,
what is the confidence?
In this will I be confident,
that the Lord will fight my battle for me. That is the confidence we have, because he's the one that giveth strength. This strength is the strength in the inner man, says Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit
in the inner man. The strength we have is in the inner man. It's a spiritual strength. So don't look at the feeble or the size or anything. It's not by size. Charlie, it's not by size. If not, David will not defeat Goliath. The next verse.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Uh-huh.
That ye be rooted and grounded in love.
Grounded in what?
In love.
Grounded in what?
In love.
Love of the Father and love of the brethren. God's love. And that God's love is charity. Not filial. Charity. Not contractual love. I show you love so that I can get love from you too. I serve God so that he will bless me. Not that type of love. That's why you need to be rooted and grounded in love. Uh-huh.
May be able to comprehend with all sense what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge,
uh-huh,
that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Uh-huh.
Now unto him that is able to do,
hear the way he made that statement,
exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power,
there is a power that works in us. That's why it's a spiritual thing. It gives you understanding of the depth of God's love. Your stand, your Christian faith is a reflection. Your relationship with God is a reflection of your understanding of his love towards us. And that Christ dwells in you by faith. That is by revelation, understanding. My people are destroyed for lack of understanding, lack of faith, revelation. That's why Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, 8, 9, 10, Apostle Paul still prayed that prayer for himself.
But what things were gained to me,
yes,
those I counted loss for Christ.
You see?
Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus
my
Lord.
You see what revelation does? When you have revelation, you become humble. Revelation of salvation. Revelation of who Christ is. You become humble. Any achievement you achieve before you come to Christ, you treat it as trash, because you suddenly know that it has no bearing with your eternal destination. Go ahead.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
That I may win Christ.
And be found in him, yes, not having my own righteousness,
uh-huh,
which is of the law,
uh-huh,
but that which is through the faith of Christ,
uh-huh,
the righteousness which is of God by faith,
uh-huh,
that I may know him and the power of his resurrection,
uh-huh,
and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death.
Therefore, to be empowered, one of the things you need to be empowered is knowledge. You can never walk beyond what you know. When you see a man that says he's a Christian, a woman that says she's a Christian, she goes to church. When she has certain problems, when she doesn't get the answer in the church, she go to Babalawo. It is a reflection of the understanding of the Christian faith. When you see a brother fighting a brother, a sister fighting a sister, like enemies outside, and they are all taking communion together, praying together, and yet relate in such enmity with each other, it is evidence, a sign, a reflection of how you understand who this God is. It's revelation. It's revelation. Your understanding, the life you live, is a reflection of what you know concerning grace, concerning the cross of Jesus, concerning what it means to be a Christian. It's true. Can you come to church and then you're doing courtship like the people in the world? Do boyfriend, girlfriend like they do in the world? They will stand here. No fear of God. Is there any impediment? We want to wed them. Is there any impediment? No impediment. Before the pillar of fire, no impediment. Meanwhile, you were eating every day till that day. It simply means you don't know God. If you know Him, you will fear Him. There are certain things you cannot do if you know God. Certain things you cannot do and feel comfortable. He said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. Why? Because his seed remained in him. The seed of the word of God that got you born again. The word that got you born again. You can't commit, you can't enjoy sin. You fall, you rise immediately and clean up yourself by repentance. It's true. This year, take note, these things weaken us. It weaken you. The prince of this world coming, but you will find nothing in me. The accuser of the brethren. Stay under the blood. Maintain the covenant we have with God. He can't touch us. So to be empowered for this year and throughout your life as a Christian, Apostle Paul told us we should put on the whole armor of God. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood in Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities and powers. The forces that we are facing, the only way to resist them is to put on the whole armor of God that he enumerated. And finally, in verse 17, what are you to put on in verse 17, Ephesians chapter
6? The helmet of salvation.
Salvation.
And the sword of the Spirit.
What is the sword of the Spirit?
Which is the word
that
of God.
That is what you will use to fight your battle this year. It's the word of God. The word of God in the Spirit is a sword. The word of God in the Spirit is a bomb. The word of God in the Spirit, hallelujah, amen, it cannot be conquered. It's a nuclear power against the devil. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
For the,
the word of God is what?
Quick and powerful.
See the description of the word of God.
And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the
heart. That is the reason why in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3, Moses recounted this to the children of Israel.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in to possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers.
Listen very well.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no.
Verse 3.
And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know.
Why?
That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only.
Only, but what?
But by every word that proceeded
some
out
word of God.
Every word.
Some?
Every.
Every word that proceeded from what?
Out of the mouth of the Lord.
Out of the mouth
of the Lord doth man live.
If you want to conquer this year, obey every word of God. That is for you. That is the secret. And that's the reason why Satan is after the word. The word of the Lord went to Samson. Samson, don't let razor touch your hair. That is, thus saith the Lord. Listen to me. The power was not in the hair. The power was in the commandment. Is somebody understanding me? The strength of Samson was not in the hair he carried. The hair was to remind him of the commandment of God upon him. And he went to Delilah. And she was scratching that same hair. And what happened? She was looking for the secret. The secret of his strength. The secret of his strength. Brethren, the secret of the strength of the believer is in obedience. Obedience over the word. It's not for you to cram the word of God. It is for you to obey the word of God. Don't recite the word of God. God is not interested in your recitation of any verse. It is in obedience of that word you are reciting. That is where the power is. That's where the power is. If you know, thou shalt not commit fornication, and you quote it, you know the verse, you know everything, and you commit fornication, how has that memory verse profited you? We have memory verses to remind us when that memory verse is needed. That is why many of us will suffer. That is the reason why we give attention to the study of the word, because that is where the strength is. The word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Our brother is taking us now on what happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. It is not what they ate that was the sin. They ate because of the sin they committed. What was the sin? You should not eat from this fruit. You should not. It's not the fruit. Listen, the source there. You were not supposed to go there. And I said, don't touch it. It's the spirit of error. It's an antichrist spirit. You listen to it, you are finished. Balaam could not curse Israel. But they went and yoked themselves in the feast of Baal-Peor. The Moabites organized a feast with the advice of Balaam. And they went and joined themselves with the Moabitish women. They set a trap. They joined them. And what happened? It brought down God's anger. The anger of the Lord was not because they fornicated. The anger of the Lord is because they disobeyed his commandment. He killed 24,000 that day. What Balak could not achieve through Balaam, the children of Israel, in disobeying the word of God, brought death upon them. That is what is called the doctrine of Balaam. He said God hates it. No man can curse you, but Satan can push you to have problem with the God that is protecting you. How does he achieve it? The simplest way is to make you to disobey God. When the Bible says the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey, it is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost only. It's the anointing to conquer will be given to only those that will obey. Obey God's own commandment. That is why there are three symbolic women in the Bible. Israel, in Revelation chapter 12, the harlot, in Revelation chapter 17, and the bride, in Revelation chapter 19. Then you'll understand Matthew 24 verse 13, the woman that took leaven and mixed it with three measures of meal until the whole meal was corrupted. That's why it gave us the dark ages. The three works of grace, mixing with false doctrine, and brought darkness to the Christian faith. And that woman is the woman described as the harlot in Revelation chapter 17. Delilah and Samson, the church. And scrape all her power. The Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But they took Christianity and mixed it with paganism and compromised the word of God and lost the power. And darkness came upon the church for about 1,000 years. That woman is the Catholic woman. Revelation chapter 17. They are the ones that mixed Christianity with idolatry. Even that Zion church has image of Mary. By the altar, I saw a picture of it. It's not only women, they look. Look at the idol that you put in your altar and remove it. Praise the Lord. And so Colossians chapter 3 has a roundup. Verse 12 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, from verse 12 to verse 17.
Put on therefore, as the elect of God,
that is the advice,
holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another.
That is the admonishment for all of us as brethren.
If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye.
Verse 13 again.
Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all this, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Let the word of God dwell in you, richly in all wisdom,
teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
And this is also in addition this year of living a life of holiness. The meaning of holiness is being set apart for the master's use. That is the meaning of holiness. Set yourself apart for the master's use, for God to use you. You must clean up yourself for God to use you. That's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, 20, 21.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Yes.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
The Lord knows them that are his, and they are the ones I'm talking to now.
And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Iniquity there is useless, ungodly lifestyles. Yes?
But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor.
That great house is the church of Jesus Christ. Yes?
If a man therefore purge himself from these...
If you purge yourself from these iniquities,
he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
And this includes regular fasting and prayers. Pray without ceasing. When I say regular fasting and prayer, I'm talking of spiritual exercises that tame your body and build your spirit man. Cultivate. I was saying the other day, I said, stop saying it is my prayer time. The prayer is not time. It's prayer life. We have prayer life, not prayer time. Make sure that prayer is part of you anywhere you are. What is prayer? Say something to God now. Either in your songs or saying something by way of a petition or worshiping him in any way. Be in communication regularly with God. And the more you exercise that, the closer you become with God, the more spiritual you become. If not, if you say, my prayer time never reach, my prayer time never reach, so make I go sleep with her before prayer time. When it is prayer time, then I will come and say, Father, forgive me. So between the last prayer time and the next prayer time, you can go canal. You can go canal. No, don't do like that. Don't do like that. If you are alone, nothing to do, remove bad thoughts from your mind. Be saying something to God. Appreciate him, Father. Hey! And as you pass, there is somebody you see who say your life better pass up. You have reason to thank God. You go to hospital, you have reason to thank God. You close business and come in, you will hear somebody complaining. Do you know that I didn't sell anything today? Then you remember that you saw something today. You begin to thank God. You enter motor, you come down from motor, you thank God there was no accident. You reach home, you sleep, you wake up, you thank God that you are alive. Every day you are saying something. You are in the toilet doing poo-poo. You are singing to God until you finish. Thanking him because some people cannot poo-poo. Cannot poo-poo. You see food before you to eat. Some people have money, they have no appetite. Some people have appetite, they have no money. You have money, you have appetite. Thank God. Every time, talk to God. Every minute, talk to him. You have a job. Some people don't have a job. When you go to office, thank him. When you leave your office, thank him. Live a life of prayer. Prayer. Every moment is prayer. When you are in your shower, be singing unto God. A man that lives that type of life is a spiritual man. Spiritual man. Micah chapter 6, verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Hear that admonishment of the Lord through Micah, prophet Micah,
hear chapter you now, 6. What the Lord says.
Micah chapter 6 from verse 1. Hear you now. Listen very well.
Arise, contend thou before the mountains,
yes,
and let the hills hear thy voice.
Uh-huh.
Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, uh-huh, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto, yes, Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves
that's
of a year old.
That's not what he's looking for.
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams?
That's not what he's looking for.
Or with 10,000 of rivers of oil?
You can't please God with that.
Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression?
That's not what he's looking for.
The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
What is he looking for?
He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require
what
of thee?
What does he require from us?
But to do justly.
Do justly.
And to love mercy.
Love mercy.
And to walk humbly
and
with
to
thy
walk
God.
Humbly with God. That is what is required of us this year. To walk in the covenant that God has with us. Tell your neighbor, be empowered. Say it again, be empowered. Now only one neighbor you get. And like Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 18, he said, brethren, I am also saying it, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Amen.
And the church will say,
amen.
Can we stand up and sing hymn number 318? Through the love of God, our Savior, all will be well this year. All will be well. All is well. That is not what Ebuka said. You are a follower of his ministry. He said, I think the person that wrote that thing did not hear Evangelist Buka very well. I've heard him preach several times. What he said is that a woman is free to operate any gift given to her, but the woman is not allowed to tend an altar of God, because God in the Old Testament did not ordain any woman to be a priest. A woman is not allowed to be the head of a church. What we read now, I saw it in so many blogs. And I listened to a bit of it. And he spoke concerning this menstrual thing. That one, nobody said, I had it. And why I couldn't finish it was that he entered Igbo. He was talking in Igbo language. But this one, I had it. Concerning the uncleanness of a woman coming to the altar and praying for people and prophesying. I had it. The part he spoke. The rest were in Igbo language he was talking. So go back and listen. And if it is, if he didn't say it, then discard what I said. But based on what I see, it's what I am replying. But if I didn't hear it well, Ebuka, I am sorry. But if you said it, correct it. Correct it. I only told you what the Bible says. I'm not accusing you. I'm a Bible teacher. God bless you. Now, all will be well. All will be well. Everybody now.
Through the love of God, our Savior, all will be well. Free and gentle in His favor, all is well. Precious is the blood that healeth, perfect is the grace that sealeth us. Stronger and strengthened to shield.
That's the assurance we have. Promise to serve Him to the end. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Everybody now. Before all will be well, you must promise to serve Him. Oh. Everybody now.
Oh Jesus. Thank you.
jam your hands together for the Lord.